Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series on prayer. Jesus modeled throughout his life on earth what prayer looked like between him and his heavenly Father. In this series, we explore how Jesus prayed and what we can learn from his example. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. It's fun to be back with you guys. It's hard to believe we've been gone for like a month now, right? So we weren't here last week, weren't here for Christmas, weren't here the week before that outside of United Night, which was a lot of fun, and now we're back. So it's been like 3 weeks off from middle school. So it is not just a new month, but it is a new year, and I know that with the new year, at least for some folks, comes some like goal setting, comes some New Year's resolutions, or maybe you're just like, hey, this is just something that I want to go after this year. And so I thought it might be fun. I think it's kind of fun every year to hear what some of those things are for you guys. So does anybody have things that like, hey, in this year, 2024, by Christmas or end of the year next year, I want to have this thing accomplished? Does anybody have one of those things that you want to just like put out there and share with your closest friends here at FGS Middle? Anybody? Might got one of those things? Wow. Goal setting is dead. Jason. Not breaking your arm in snowboarding. Yeah, that's a pretty good goal, I would say, if you could keep your arm intact. Specifically around snowboarding, I like that. Yeah, JB? Get your book to an editor. This is the one you've been working on for a while? Nice, dude. So a little progress and something he's been working on for a long time. Say it again. Have more self-confidence. I love it. Yeah. Read the whole New Testament. Nice. I love it. What's there, 27 books? I think you can do it. I think you got this, guy. Yeah. Love it. Get halfway through the New Testament. So, yeah, but maybe you get there and you exceed expectations and you go even further. Get through science fair? Like, just get through it? Okay, is it like a big, huge part of your grade sort of thing? It's just stressful enough that, like, hey, I just need to get through it. Tara? Not sprain your wrist, so there's some keep my physical self intact this year? Getting through school. Nice. Just making it to the other side of the grade that you're in. Well, maybe you guys have some other ones. Maybe you are still kind of thinking about as it's the new year. I mean, you guys know, especially for us adults in the room, there's oftentimes some goals. Like, I think one of the most popular goals of every year is some sort of fitness goal, right? Like some sort of weight loss or some sort of, I want to achieve this. I want to do a 5K or heaven forbid, do some sort of like marathon or something, which sounds terrible. By the way, did anybody watch at home Tyler this New Year's? He brought the word, the main service word, and he talked about his triathlon. Yeah, you would never catch me doing a triathlon. Okay, that's not who I am. That's not what I do, and it's not who I ever want to be. Okay, just to be clear there. Endurance sports are not my thing, all right? Give me the short sprint. But I will say, all right, I'm putting this out. I told the team it this week because we kind of had a little like get-together thing. We actually did an escape room this week, which was really fun. And the reason we're here today is because we made it out of the escape room, okay? Because, you know, if you don't make it out, you're never seen again is kind of the way it works, if I understand right, okay? I told the team this week, and I'm putting it in front of as many people so you can hold me accountable and tell me not to do things like eat Sour Patch Kids. But I'm trying to lose 30 pounds this year, guys. Okay, so that's my goal for the year. Big goal. Some of you are like, you don't have 30 pounds to lose. That's super kind of you. I've probably got like 50 pounds I need to lose. Okay, remember I'm 5'2", and I, you know, that BMI thing. It's a joke anyway. But my BMI is pretty high. So trying to lose 30 pounds this year. Gonna get jacked. Like Matt Densky, all right? That's kind of the body type that I'm going for. So if you've ever seen that dude flex, Shout out to Matt. I hope he's watching this. So maybe though, some of your goals, which I was actually really encouraged to hear, like some of you guys are talking about not just, hey, I want to do this thing at school, which I think is great, or do this thing with your sport team, which maybe you guys have some goals when it comes to sports, or maybe just like general kind of improvement of self, even though I think all those things are really good. But I also would hope that there's a category that you guys are thinking of, that when you think about life and you think about the next year, that you're not just focusing on yourself, but you're also thinking about, hey, what does it look like for me to grow in my faith? What does it look like for me to grow in my relationship with the Lord? What does it look like for me to maybe take some steps towards things that, hey, maybe I've kind of known that I should be growing in, but if I'm being honest, the last year or so, it's been kind of stagnant. Like, it's been an area of life where there isn't a whole lot of growth. And one of those places, I think for me every year, I think this is something that I want to always be growing in, is the area of prayer. And for most of us, I think, like, we maybe pray on a pretty regular basis, but maybe it's typically around things like dinner time, which there's nothing wrong with praying for dinner. Like, I think you should do that. Or bedtime, which I think we certainly should do that. We pray at bedtime in my house with the boys every single night. Or maybe this last one, maybe we'll bring up some memories of this past year. I think crunch time is another time that we tend to pray, like, oh, Lord, you know I didn't study for this test, but you have all the answers, right? And so you're going in and you're hoping that the Lord gives some wisdom. Or just when like things get really tough, like that's kind of, could be another crunch time for you where, man, you just find yourself in some messy situations. And maybe you could say, like, this is how I got here, but you're also like a little surprised, like, man, things are rough right now. Lord, I just need your help. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. I need a way out. And it's not just those three times that we ought to pray. I think we know that. I think the scriptures are pretty clear saying things like, hey, that we should be people who pray without ceasing, that we should be people who are in regular conversation with the Father. And whether you look at the life of your favorite Bible character, or you look at the entire book of Psalms, which is a book of prayers ultimately, or if you look at the life of Jesus, it's pretty clear that prayer is meant to not just be reserved for certain points or times in our life, but is meant to be a huge part of how we do life on a day-to-day basis. And so for the next 4 weeks, for the month of January, we're going to talk about prayer, and specifically looking at how Jesus prayed. Thus, the title of this series is Pray Like Jesus. If our lives are meant to be lived in a way that kind of looks like how Jesus did life, or looks like, hey, how would Jesus live if he were in my shoes and in my circumstances and my family? If he was in my place right now in 2024, no longer in 2023, but how would Jesus do life? I think one of the things that we have to consider is how might we pray like Jesus on a regular basis? And so you can turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. It's where we're going to be. Probably the most famous prayer in the Bible, which is the Lord's Prayer. And as you're turning, I thought it was interesting. I started this book. I told Tyler, I think this is like the second or third time that I've gone through this book. And it's just called Prayer. And it's by a guy named Timothy Keller, who he was a pastor in New York City and a theologian and really influential in Christendom with his thoughts on God and his thoughts on Scripture. And he actually passed away within the last couple years. But this book on prayer, I think, is one of the best books that I've ever read, at least, on prayer. And one of the ways that he starts, that he opens the book, is he talks about a moment in the early 2000s, so before you guys were even born. Can you imagine that? People were still doing life, even when you weren't here. And he talks about a time when his wife was going through something really difficult, and he had just found out that he was having that he had thyroid cancer, which was pretty serious, could potentially be serious, and I think was a part of what actually ended up taking his life about 20-some years later. I think that was somewhat cancer-related. And for maybe one of the biggest moments in his life, and I think he was maybe in his 70s, like early 70s, when he passed away. And so thinking 20 years prior to that, he's maybe in his 50s or at least late 40s. And it was one of the biggest times in his life when he realized, like, hey, I don't have the prayer life that I think I'm called to have. Which is kind of interesting to think about this guy who was, like, if you ask Charlie, hey, who are some of the people, who are some of the theologians and pastors who have been most influential in your life, he would list Tim Keller. If you ask other pastors around Fellowship Greenville, they would say the same thing. And yet, it wasn't until this guy was in his late 40s, early 50s, that he really started to go after prayer and seek the Lord in it. And one of the things that grabbed his attention was obviously his circumstances, but then a conversation with his wife that kind of went something like this. If there was a doctor who said, hey, the cure for your cancer or the cure for whatever she was dealing with was that you must take this pill and you must take it every night at 6 p.m. right before you eat dinner, how would you treat that pill? If you knew, hey, this is the way, there's nothing else that we know of that will cure your cancer or prolong your life, what would you be doing with that pill? Well, dude, I'm setting every alarm in my house, right? I'm never forgetting. I'm making sure that I always have those pills stocked up, and I am for sure taking that pill every single night at 6 p.m. This is my lifeline. This is the thing that's keeping me alive. And that through that conversation with his wife, he realized, hey, prayer's not much different. Clearly, when we read the scriptures, we see people who are going to God all the time. A simple definition of prayer, we can go ahead and put that up there, is just talking to God. If this thing really is a relationship, if you and I are in a relationship with a loving Father, with our Heavenly Father God, then a key part of that relationship is that we talk with Him, is that we converse with Him, is that we tell Him what's on our heart and that we listen to Him speaking to us. Prayer is a vital part of our life, and if there's not a moment throughout your day when you're talking with God, then what kind of relationship do you have with Him? And that's not a guilt thing, but more hopefully like a challenge thing of, man, this is our lifeline. This is where we get our life. This is where we get our energy. It's kind of interesting seeing some of those New Year's Eve things where they're like, let's get all the positive energy on this new year, right? Like, just so inspirational. Dude, those people are turning to false gods and false ways, and yet we have the one true God that we get to turn to. And any moment of any day, we can turn to Him and talk with Him in prayer. This is our lifeline. This is where we get our energy, our source, our life, day to day. And yet for most of us, it is reserved for times like dinner and bed and the crunch time moments. But so I don't know about you, but I want to continue growing in prayer. And I think as we've talked as a student staff, particularly myself and Tyler, we want prayer to be a part of who we are as God's people. And it seems so simple. And yet I think some of us are like, maybe I don't know what that looks like, or maybe it's not actually as important. Like, God knows my heart after all. But no, I think it's pretty clear that there's times when we're supposed to bring things before the Father. So we're going to read the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew chapter 6. This is actually a part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, some of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, some of the places that have been the most influential in shaping theologians and pastors over hundreds and a couple thousand years, really, since Jesus was walking this earth. And here he is talks about a bunch of things in the Sermon on the Mount, and here he is in Matthew 6, verse 9, talking about prayer. And he says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, it's maybe one of the most famous sets of verses, certainly the most famous prayer in all of Scripture. We pray it still around our sports teams, and we pray it from time to time here in the church, and maybe you've even found yourself praying it or your family has prayed it at times. But real quick, what does this prayer mean? What is Jesus actually getting at? Like, he actually gives us this example of, hey, pray like this. And so sometimes we take that as like, oh, so we should say those specific words, which I think is part of what Jesus is getting at. But I think there seems to be a heart behind what Jesus is saying. That it's not necessarily just tied to these words, but it's hey, no, you can come to God for these things. Is there anything that for you guys sticks out in this prayer? Like for me, I kind of wrote down five things that Jesus seems to be getting at. Is there anything that comes to your mind as you're looking at this prayer? And we'll leave it up on the screen. But is there anything that sticks out? Hey, what's Jesus inviting us to pray for? Anybody got anything as you read this? Yeah. So there's a piece in here about forgiveness, right? So verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That one of the things that Jesus seems to be calling us to do in prayer is actually to bring our sins, to bring our shortcomings, to bring our faults, to bring our mistakes, to bring our wrongdoings, to bring those things to him. We see other places in the scripture where God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. So yeah, there's a piece here where part of our prayer should be, hey, not just sweeping our sin under the rug, but actually taking that to God. Yeah, it's really good. And he's going to be faithful to forgive us. Anybody else got something that sticks out to you? Yeah, Merrick. Yeah. Your kingdom come, this is verse 10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that this actually has to do with like aligning our hearts with the things of God. That, Lord, hey, your will be done above my will, above the will of the powerful people here on this earth. Like, your will be done on earth. Think about this, on earth as it is in heaven. Like, God, would heaven start to come to earth? Would your way start to influence and shape the things that we see and that we experience and that we do on this earth? I mean, this is ultimately the trajectory that we're on, is that heaven and earth would be as they were meant to be, that they would be made one, that all wrongs would be made right, that there would be a new heavens and a new earth, as we read about in the book of Revelation, which our church is jumping back in on, I think, come this summer. Like, that's what we're praying is God, your will, your ways be done above my way. Would you align my heart? Would you align my mind? Would you align my desires with yours? And man, does that change how we not just approach life, but even approach our prayers. The first thing right here, verse 9 says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This kind of first thing, it's almost, I don't necessarily know that all of our prayers have to follow this pattern every single time, but I think that Jesus is intentional in the pattern that he gives us, where it's, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a recognizing of who God is. So hey, before everything else, because a lot of times we treat our prayers like some sort of magical, like genie in a lamp or a candy machine, right? Like we put in a certain code and we get out the candy or the chips or the drink that we want. It's some kind of vending machine. But before we bring our stuff to God, I think Jesus is very intentional in saying, hey, recognize the God that you are praying to. Hallowed be your name, or holy is his name. Set apart, other than, above all else. There's this recognition in a moment, hey, you ought to be standing in awe of the God that you get to speak with. And then he goes to, and hey, but again, before you even get to your stuff that you're going to bring, and it's not that your stuff isn't important, but man, I think once you recognize who God is, and then like Merrick pointed out, once you say, hey, Lord, align my heart, align my will with yours, then it shapes kind of the third thing that Jesus brings out here, which is verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread, which seems to be an invitation. Hey, Lord, would you provide for all my needs today? Would you, hey, Lord, here's what's going on in my life. Here's the things I'm dealing with. Here's the things that are going on in my family. Here's the thoughts that I'm having in my mind. I need you, most holy God, God whose will and ways are above mine. Align my heart with that. But here's my practical things where I really do need you. And then, like we talked about earlier, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This call to continuously bring our things to God. And then the final piece of the Lord's Prayer, and we could spend so much more time thinking about this, but we are slightly confined this morning. Verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That as we've brought these things to God, and as we end our time in prayer, and we step into life, hey, Lord, would you protect me? Would you hold me? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you keep me from the ways of the evil one? Lead me not even into temptation. Like, I don't want to even get close to it. But deliver us from evil. This is one of the ways that we see Jesus pray, and one of the few times where we see him say something so specific that we should pray like this. And so in a second, we're going to end, and we're going to do just that. We're going to pray like Jesus instructed. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, and you can read it out loud. We're going to keep it up on the screen for you, or you can just kind of say it in your heart between you and the Lord. But I guess I want to ask us a few questions as we continue in this series over the next several weeks. Is one would be, what does your prayer life look like? And again, I'm not trying to guilt trip. I'm not trying to like bait and switch. I'm not trying to poke you where it hurts. But I want to challenge us. Like, I want us to be people who are growing and going after these things. And one of them being prayer. What does your prayer life look like? Is it maybe, like, just if you're being honest, it's a little more kind of how we talked about it on the front end. Like, hey, pray for food, and we pray at bedtime and crunch time. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Is that what your prayer looks like? Or is there a depth to it? Is there, like, no, I pray to God when things are going well, just as much as I pray when things are really tough. And I ask God for wisdom in conversations and because sometimes I know I don't have the words, but he does. And what about when it comes to the structure and kind of the way that Jesus talked about prayer? Are those some of the things that you're bringing to God in prayer? Did you even know that you could bring those things to him? Things like, hey, no, we need to continue confessing our sins. Maybe for some reason, in some odd way, you thought, sometimes I just don't feel good bringing the small things to God. And yet you see this morning that, no, Jesus says, hey, bring them all. Like, God, provide for our daily needs, our daily bread. Like, we have real needs, and God's the one who can meet them. Do you pray in a similar way that Jesus instructed us to? And then maybe the last question would be, what does it look like for you to grow in prayer this year? I think it's baby steps at a time. I don't think I'm asking, hey, so tomorrow, okay, 4 a.m., we're waking up and we're going 2 hours straight of prayer, all right? Before you even shower, before you brush your teeth, you're going to come in all your nastiness before the Lord. No, I'm not like, not saying we need to like jump in. Maybe somebody in here will do that. But if we're going to be people who grow in our faith, and one of those areas for us that we're pointing out specifically is prayer, then I think we at least got to set our mind towards, hey, what does it look like for us to grow in that way? And then I will end with a challenge, and no, it's not 2 hours of stepping in, but what would it look like for you to pray for just this month? Let's just put it on this month, all right? Start the new year off hot. And we're already 7 days in, okay? So you've already got a week out of the way. But what would it look like for you to spend time in prayer outside of the normal times that you do, just for 5 minutes? And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but that's kind of the point. Like, I want to like give you something that's digestible, give you something you can go after. But literally, like, setting a timer, and maybe even before you get in there, like, hey, writing down some of the things that Jesus walks through here in the Lord's Prayer. And then for 5 minutes, you spend that time taking those things before him. And it may not sound like much, but if you do the math, I think we've got something like 25-ish days left in this year, like if you count today, or in this month, rather. And 5 times 25 is 125. You're talking about 2 hours and some change in prayer by the end of this month. And I think that we'll talk more about, hey, what does prayer look like? How do our interactions with God actually change things, or rather change us? But man, 2 hours in prayer over the next month, I think, I got to believe, I got some faith that you might actually start to see God showing up in ways that are unexpected in your life. So let's end this morning by praying the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to read, I know there's some different ways, but we'll read this together. So Jesus said, pray then like this, and this is where we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.